I'd like to read tonight, first of all, please, in the book of Acts and chapter 4. The book of the Acts and chapter 4. And we'll read at verse 10. Acts chapter 4 and reading at verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Now this is my verse, it's on the wall behind me, I notice. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now over to chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And reading at verse 1. Acts chapter 17 and reading at verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And then back to chapter 16 and verse 25. Chapter 16 of Acts, verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, thus the jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now that'll suffice for our reading, and the Lord will bless, no doubt, what we've been listening to tonight. A man by the name of William Barclay said on one occasion, one of the famous quotes that he made, he said, The awful importance of life is that it determines eternity. So in other words, in life, this life that you and I are living, sometimes we hardly think about life or value life, but this life that you and I are living tonight, every one of us, we are really only here for a little time, as you often hear. This is but a dressing room for eternity, but we are leaving this life, whether long or short, but we are going somewhere forever. And there's quite a difference between the little journey of this life and forever. And the Bible has one word in the King James Bible, our English Bible, and that word is eternity, which is forever. So you and I, we are going somewhere forever. We're here for a little while, and then we're going somewhere forever. And you know what's really important and the awful importance of this life? We don't know when we're going. Not one of us here tonight know when we're going to leave this life and go to eternity. That's why I read tonight about being saved. And I think we probably are hearing that every night in the meetings. Being saved is really an action word. It's something that is needed. I'm thinking of the message that's declared from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation. The men here that we read about in chapter 4, they preached the very same word. They said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so that's our message tonight. We must be saved. So are you saved tonight? If we were to ask you, each one of us, we went up and down every row here tonight and went to every seat, every boy, every girl, man and woman in our meeting tonight, and we said to you, are you saved? What would your answer be? Well, the Bible says we must be saved. And then when Acts chapter 17, I'm thinking the message of Acts 4, the means of Acts chapter 17, it says that Paul, as he often did in his preaching, he opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And this is the means of salvation or being saved. Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. The man who died on the cross, we've been hearing about tonight, the Lord Jesus, the man who died on the cross, that's the means of salvation. He is the only way to heaven. It's not in the preachers, it's not in the building, it's not in the gospel hall. You could belong to every church in the world or every church in Sarnia. And I noticed there's quite a few here as I drove around Sarnia a little bit yesterday. I noticed there's a lot of church buildings, what we call church buildings. And you could have your name on every one of those church buildings, my friend, and never make it to heaven. And the Bible says there's only two places, heaven and hell. And if I'm going to be in heaven, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. And the means of being saved is through the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm thinking of a miracle that happened in Acts chapter 16. So do you believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. I do. I have to acknowledge. Actually, as I look over this company tonight, I'm quite aware that there's a number of miracles in this meeting. You know what's a miracle? It's a miracle that any one of us ever got saved. It's a miracle that anyone in this company tonight, any one of us, ever came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There is so many things against a person ever getting saved. But there is miracles that are happening. And you know, there could be a miracle happen right in this meeting tonight. Right amongst us here in this company. A miracle. A tremendous miracle. Something that is of more value than this whole wide world. Sometimes I tell a story about a young man that came to a gospel meeting one time years ago. And there was an older gentleman that was preaching at that meeting, and he was preaching a lot on judgment. And every now and again, he'd mention hell. And as he was preaching, you know, the judgment of God and man's sin, and because of sin, there's judgment. And if a person dies without their sins forgiven, we've been hearing about, then they're going to be in hell. And there was a young man, a university student in that meeting, and every time he mentioned that word, it just irked them. And the more the older gentleman mentioned the word hell, the more upset this young student became. Until finally, he was just as angry could be. Anyway, the meeting went on. When the meeting was over, going out the door, the older gentleman's there, and he's shaking hands with the individuals. And when the young man comes along, he takes him by the hand, and he's shaking his hand. He says, young man, are you saved? And the young man said to him, none of your business, he said to the older man, none of your business. And he's holding on to his hand, he's shaking it, and holding on to it. And he says, young man, he said, if it's none of my business, then more than likely you're not saved. Because if you were saved, you would be glad enough to say you were. You'd be glad enough to tell me. And with that was just about the last straw. With that, he just jerked his hand away and out he went. Out the door. But you know, the end of the story, there's some time in between, but the end of the story, you know, as that young man began to think about what had transpired there in the gospel meeting, you know, he came to really realize, if I was saved, I would have been glad to tell him, that man. You know, he was really only being kind to me. And the result of that was he faced the fact that he was not saved. And before long, he did get saved. So that's a miracle that happened in that young man's life. So if we ask you going out the door tonight, I'm not going to. I'll tell you right up front. I won't ask you if you're saved or not. I might feel like it, or I might like to, but I won't. And I asked that to one girl going out one night, maybe the first time ever in my life, because I just don't do that. I didn't like it before I was saved. The preacher going out the door every night, he'd get you by the hand, and he would say something or ask you something. So one night, some of us were going out the back door. Wasn't going out the preacher's door. Anyway, I said to this girl one night way over in Newfoundland, I said, are you saved? I kind of thought she was. And she looked at me with this funny look come over her face. And I knew right away. And you know what? For about 3 or 4 nights, I never seen her. I seen her in the meeting, but I didn't see her at the door. And I thought to myself, something's she didn't like. And so I waited one night till the meeting was almost over, and then I came up where she was. And I spoke to her. And I didn't tell her I was sorry for asking her if she was saved or not. But I just broke the ice between us again. Well, I won't ask you at the door, you say, but I'll ask you right now. And you can answer in your own mind. Girls, boys, older person, younger person tonight, are you saved? Can you go back to a time, a moment, a day, somewhere in your life's experience when you became saved? Trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You know why a person must be saved? Do you know why you need to be saved? Well, one of the main reason is because God declares that a person must be saved. That's what we read in the Bible. Neither is there salvation. That's the verse right here. Neither is there salvation in any other, the Lord Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, because of who declares it, it's declared by the highest authority. It's not our words. It's not our thoughts. The highest authority, higher than the President of the United States or the Premier of Prime Minister, I mean of Canada, or the Premier of this province, I suppose. The highest authority, God. You know what God declares? You and I, every one of us, from the speaker, takes in this whole company tonight, we must be saved. If I'm going to be in heaven, I need to be saved. God declares it. You know, more than that, what we've been hearing tonight, my condition demands it. My condition demands that I get saved because of what we've been hearing. S-I-N, that little word, but a tremendous problem, sin. And because of our sin, that's why Christ had to die. Because of our sin, that's why I need to be saved, my friend. I need my sins forgiven. You know what I've learned as I've grown older? I thought as you get older, life got easier. Things got easier in life. And I've learned more about this old wicked heart of mine since God saved me. Way more than I knew before God saved me. Since God saved me, I have realized within this breast, within this heart, there's the capability of anything or everything that any person has ever done or committed in this world. In this breast, there's the capability. You know why? Because of the mighty, tremendous power of sin. The right circumstance, the right situation, and anything is possible. I've come to recognize that since God saved me. Just how wretched the old heart really is. That's why I need to be saved. That's why I needed God's salvation. That's why Christ had to come into this world to die on the cross. I went to a man I heard, a real good friend of mine, not saved, but a good friend of mine, had to do a lot with flying. And he went the extra mile up there in the Labrador with the aircraft and so on. Anyway, I heard he had cancer, throat. And we were in Halifax, actually, at the time. So I flew over to St. John's, went to see this young man, Tony. And he's going in for an operation. And the doctor didn't give him very much hope, the family. So he's sitting there, him and his wife and their little boy. And we're talking a little bit. And so I said, you know, Tony, you know the greatest need when it comes to a time like this is the need of being sure that you're saved, ready. I said, you know what you're doing right now? You need an operation. It's been declared. The doctor, the highest authority, really. The doctor, you've taken that doctor at his word. And you need an operation. He has declared it. Your condition demands it. Your condition, you need this operation. Won't live without it. You are committing to this doctor, this surgeon, your life. You are committing everything to this man. You're going to be in his hands completely, 100%. I said, you know what God wants? That's what God wants you to do with him. When Christ died on the cross, he died for sinners. He made a provision to meet the need, the greatest problem of man, man's greatest problem, greatest need. You know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to commit to Him your trust 100%. And He can meet the need. I don't know how it'll turn with the doctor. Well, you know, a serious business then. There's no joking, no laughing. The phone rang. I was going to pray before I left, been there quite a while. I was going to pray. I said, I'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll have to go. The phone rings, the cell phone. So his wife's going to answer it. He said, no. He said, that's not important. This is important right now. This is what's important. Because not playing games then. The game in life had become a reality. He's facing eternity. And so we prayed. Well, wish I could tell you Tony got saved that night. Wish I could tell you. But you know, the Lord, I don't know how many times we've said over after how good the Lord was. As I seen him after the operation and all the things and the way things went, well, he's back flying now after a number of years. He's back flying in the summers. So he said, God has been good, Tony. You know, God has been good to every one of us here. Been good to the boys and girls. Been good to every young person, every man and every woman, every one of us. God has been good to us, really. You know what God desires? God desires that you might be saved. That's the desire. God declares it, must be saved. Your condition demands it, must be saved. And I'm hoping our prayer would be, is there someone that would desire to be saved? To be sure, without a doubt, going to be in heaven. Sins are forgiven because it's only the Lord Jesus that can forgive sins. There's a verse in the Bible that says, the Lord said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Not in eternity. See this chart? I often say, see this pillar on the chart here? And it's stationary here. They couldn't do anything else but put it across these both roads. But you know what really what this pillar does? It moves up and down this road. It goes up and down this road. Both roads, actually. Moves up and down. And I don't know. None of us know just where on these roads we are or how near to this pillar we are. But you know, if we're going to cross over into this great eternity, you know what we need? You know what every person needs? You know what the boys and girls need? Need to be saved. That's why that word there is come. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, when he says come, you can say to the children, you know, you say to the boys and girls, come. You know what? They know what that means. Come. And so they, whether they can walk or not sometimes, they just try to come to the mom or dad or to the one they trust. And so the Lord Jesus tonight says to boys and girls and to men and women, come. Come unto me. That's the means. Because he provided the means whereby you can come. There is that door that's open. There is that availability. He has made the way available. That's why he can say, come. And Paul says, Christ must needs have suffered, and he did. He died upon the cross. The sufferings of the cross, my friend, are tremendous. What the Lord Jesus endured at Calvary, those, I believe, 6 hours on the cross. When he was on the cross, those 6 hours took the 6 hours to pay the price that satisfied God, the God of heaven, on the account of our sin. And he made provision for the whole wide world. The Bible says it's unto all, but it's upon all them that believe. Christ must needs have suffered, and he did, the cross, and risen again from the dead. He's alive tonight. And because he lives, that's why he can say, come. And the miracle, well, I enjoy the miracle of God's salvation. It is a miracle when a person gets saved. One man back there in Cape Breton, and Philip may know him, or have known him. I think he's gone now, but he heard the gospel in the open air. He was working on the ferry boats going from North Sydney to Newfoundland. And when the ferry came into North Sydney there, sometimes Christians would be having an open-air meeting. So Gordon would hear them, listen to them in the open air. And although they didn't know it, the message of the gospel became a reality to Gordon. He was a first mate on the big ferry there, car ferry, crossing the Gulf. Anyway, one night, a tremendous storm raging in the Gulf, and they were crossing, the ferry was crossing from North Sydney to Port of Ask, and, you know, some were drinking and some were all the rest of it there to try to get brave enough not to show fear as they crossed in the storm. And Gordon's down in his room, down on his knees, and he's asking God to save him. He's asking God to save him. And into his mind comes a verse of Scripture that he'd heard in the open-air preaching. And you know what happened to Gordon? Down there in that little room and on board that ferry that night, he recognized that when Christ died on the cross, died for a sinner like Gordon, Gordon Rose. Anyway, get up from his knees, and as he's going up through the galley where some of the boys, the workers on the boat were sitting, they said, not a very good night, Gordon. Doubt we'll get docked tonight. Oh, he said, this is the most wonderful night of my life. And they thought something had happened to him. The most wonderful night of my life. And so he goes up on deck because he was the one that handled the ship, taking it into Port of Bass. And if you've ever been to Port of Bass, it's not the most friendly place, especially in a storm, to get in with the ship. And when he got up on deck, the captain says to him, I don't know, Gordon, I doubt we'll get in tonight. And Gordon said in his newfound miracle of God's salvation, he said, Captain, sir, she'll go in tonight like she never went in before. I've got a touch of the Master's hand. That's how he looked at it. The miracle. That's what God's salvation. He was rejoicing. You know what had happened? He'd gotten saved. His sins forgiven. Ready for heaven. Saved by God's matchless grace. He recognized the man who died upon the cross, the man who shed his blood, the man who gave his life, the man who paid that price that satisfied God on the account of our sin. He could trust that man as his personal Savior. My friend, you know what? You could do the very same tonight. Because that man, my friend, is the one who died for you. He made provision to meet your need. And you could be saved tonight. You could rejoice tonight. Your sins forgiven. That would be our prayer. That would be our desire. I hope you desire tonight to come to the Savior, to accept Him, to receive Him. And as they said to the Philippian jailer, I didn't get to, but as they said to the Philippian jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, get the word, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now we'll pray.